Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
What have we been talking about? Rebuilding our lives, right? And that's what we need. We need love, we need faith, we need hope, we need prayer, we need salvation, faithfulness, loyalty, finances, community, all that. To keep that in your life and to rebuild your life, to build all those attributes of God into your life, that's going to take some work. Now, remember King Nebuchadnezzar was the one who destroyed Jerusalem. You know, set it on fire, all the gate, everything. He destroyed Jerusalem. His goal was to dissolve their identity, to remove their identity so they wouldn't know who they were. They wouldn't know they were God's chosen people. They wouldn't know they were the people of God. And so that was his goal. And his goal was also to keep them in captivity, you know, to break their will. And so that's a type and shadow of the devil, like the devil did came in the garden, and Adam and Eve, you know, they sinned against God, and then we all fell under that, and we lost our identity. Now, we've been talking about rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And so that's what we're doing. Now, I'm going to come out, I'm going to talk to you guys, and I want you to listen to me. This is what's going on. We're getting ready to go to India, and, you know, there's a lot going on over there. I've had a lot of people say, what are you going over there for? There's all kinds of, you know, you're really risking your life going over there and all this going on. Well, Egypt is, have you seen how Egypt has got all that turmoil and all that going on there? And Iran and Iraq and Kuwait and all those places, there's war, constantly war going on. In Galatians chapter 4, this is what it says. Verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. That was Ishmael. Okay, that's Ishmael. All right. Now, and he of the free woman through the promise. That's Isaac. That's Isaac. Okay. Now, which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar, remember, Hagar was the bondwoman. Hagar was the slave woman that Sarah had. Abraham had sex with Hagar, and trying to bring the promise of God in. Remember? You know, if you don't know much about the Bible, we're going to try to help you out a little bit on this story. So that would be the flesh, okay? They didn't wait for the promise of God, so they ended up having Ishmael. The name Ishmael, if you do the study and etymology on that name, it means son of war. Son of war. Now look at this. Verse 25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai, Salem, which now is in bondage with her children. All this war and all this turmoil on the planet right now is connected to Ishmael. Abraham is our spiritual father. Abraham means father of many nations. He's our spiritual father. Now, get a hold of this. Isaac represents the promises of God. Isaac means son of laughter, joy. That's the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. Now look at this, verse 25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to what? Jerusalem. Jerusalem means what? City of peace, kingdom. Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the what? The mother of who? Of us all. Did you get that? Jerusalem. The Jerusalem above is the mother of us all if you're born again. That's the mother of us all. Above. The word above in the Greek language means supernatural. So in the spiritual realm, the Jerusalem that we're rebuilding is in the spiritual realm. You can't see it, but that's what we're rebuilding. And that's, we're rebuilding from the mother, our real mother, spiritual mother. Am I making sense? Not your physical mother would represent Ishmael. You see this? Come on, flesh. Now we are connected to the spiritual mother. That's why, listen. That's why John said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, he said, I your brother, he acknowledged himself as his brother. He says, I your brother, the word brother means from the same womb. Mother of us all. Are you catching this? From the same womb, okay? I, your brother and companion in what? Tribulation, kingdom, and patience. You see, John was talking to the seven churches, and he was saying that he is our brother. We're all from the same womb. Jerusalem above. That's what we're rebuilding in our lives. And what's it take? Tribulation. Philippus. Compacted situation. Difficult situation. Are you with me? Is anybody going through any difficulties? It's because you're doing something. You see, you're rebuilding your life because this is the Jerusalem above. This is a supernatural. Can't see it, but that's what you're doing. You see that? And that's where the pressure and all the difficulties are coming from, to keep you from rebuilding that to the mother, the Jerusalem. Am I making sense? Come on. And now watch, what was next? Kingdom. It's about that kingdom. The kingdom in you. All this opposition is to stop that kingdom in you. The rule of God in you. And then what's it take? Patience. What happened to Abraham and Sarah? They got impatient and had Ishmael. You see, that's why we need patience to develop this kingdom in us. We need the patience of God, and we need to work with God and work together and rebuild this kingdom in us. And I'm going to tell you something. You are going to take all kinds of pressure and heat from out here. But I'm going to tell you something. It's worth every bit of it. And it's all about this kingdom. You see, that's what we're about. That's what we're doing. We're building his kingdom. And it's in us. Doesn't that make sense? The mother of Jerusalem. I like that. And that's the Bible. You can't hide from that, can you? Now let's get a hold of this. I just want to start preaching, but we're going to have to hold up here. Rhonda, come on up.
But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, "Whatever they build, even if a fox goes upon it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So he built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversaries said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was, when the Jews who dwelt near them came, that they told us 10 times, "From whatever place you turn, they will be upon you." Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses."
All right. Now, you heard how Sanballat and Tobiah and all of them were ridiculing and coming against Nehemiah and all his people and trying to trip him up and keep him from rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. So the idea is, this is what the enemy does. It says that we're to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. It talks about that in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There are 3 devices that he uses. And that is ridicule, discouragement, and fear. To keep you from rebuilding your life. You see this? That's what he will use. Now, I went into that verse I just shared with you in 2 Corinthians 11, and I broke it down. Now listen to what it says. Let me tell you something. Has anybody ever experienced ridicule? People are going to laugh. People are going to say things about you. They're going to be saying things. You know, I read yesterday's paper, we talked in Chick-fil-A. They're ridiculing Chick-fil-A because they don't want to open on Sunday. I took Zeta to Chick-fil-A yesterday. That place was packed out. I mean, you couldn't get anybody else in there. And I was served and the food was excellent. They're doing something. Anytime you're doing something, ridicule is going to come. Am I making sense? Anytime you're doing anything of any significance, people are going to try to tear it down. People. The enemy always uses people. Now think about this. Opposition is not only evidence that God is blessing, but it is also an opportunity for us to grow. It's opportunity. Now, the difficulties that come with the work brought with the work in Nehemiah chapter 4 brought out the best in Nehemiah and his people. Satan likes to use problems as weapons to destroy us, but God will use them as tools to build us. To build us. Charles Spurgeon said, "God had a son without sin, but he never had a son without trials and opposition." In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it talks about, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now get a hold of this. This word advantage is, you see, look what it says. But it so happened, chapter 4, verse 1, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant. And mocked the Jews, ridicule, mock the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of the rubbish, stones that were burned? He was ridiculing them, getting them to question what they're doing. How many of you are something is always trying to question what you're doing? Constantly. That's because you're building something supernatural. You're building something you can't see. Now, listen, this is good. Advantage, lest Satan should take advantage of us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take advantage. This word advantage is the Greek word PLEONEKT, as in Tom, TEO. And this is what it means. It means to outwit. It means to trick. It means to take advantage of someone through sinister and sneaky means. That's what that word means. Now think about this. It's a compound word. And the first part of the word is P-L-E-O-N. And that means more, more, more. And the second part of the word is E-K-T-E-O. It's actually, the E-K is where we get echo, the word echo. And that means to have and to hold. To have and to hold. That's what echo means. Now, and so that's what the enemy does. He's going to bring more and more mockery and ridicule to hold you in the place where you are. So you can't rebuild and you can't do what God has called you to do. Did you catch that? A desire to have more, more. It depicts someone whose desire for something is so intense that he will take any actions required to obtain what he wants. Now, it says take advantage lest anyone be ignorant, right, of his devices. Now, get a hold of this word ignorant. I've never seen this before. This word ignorant is the Greek word A-G-N-O-E-O. And it means ignorance or lack of certain facts. Lack of certain facts. That's why the enemy wants to keep you ignorant. He doesn't want you to have certain facts about what's really important in life. Now watch this. This word, A-G-N-O-E-O, depicts a person who has no understanding and is without a clue. As a result of this Greek, this A-G-N-O-E-O, their conclusions are faulty, erroneous, and misguided. Now listen, this is where we get the word, this is where the word agnostic comes from. So every time you hear the word agnostic, that's what it means. Ignorant. So when someone says, I'm agnostic, they're telling you, I'm ignorant. Are you catching this? I've had a lot of people tell me, I'm just agnostic. I don't know what I believe. That's what it means. It means you don't know what you believe. And that's the enemy's job. He's trying to get you to a place where you don't know what you believe. It says the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not know what they believe. He's blinded their minds. Right? Age, cosmos, cosmetic. It has the appearance of something that it's not. There's something else underneath it. Right? And that's what he does. He blinds you with that. But if you don't know, then you'll stay blind spiritually. Now listen. Now, this is where we get the word agnostic. This is the official name used to describe individuals who claim they don't know what they believe. So when someone says they are agnostic, they're literally saying, I'm ignorant. Now get a hold of that. I think this is so interesting. Devices. You want to be ignorant of his devices. Now watch this. This word device is the word N-O-E, is where we get the word mind, mind. So this word devices has to do with the mind, with your mind. No, N-O-E, mata, no mata. It describes a mind that is scheming, calculating, convincing, devious, shrewd, sly, or clever. The enemy is in hopes of hindering your plans in your mind of having a healthy marriage, of having good health, of having good relationships, of having healthy finances, and keeping your life and family together. That's what he brings these devices for. And ridicule is one of the big ones that he uses. Shakespeare called ridicule paper bullets of the brain. But those bullets have slain many of warriors, Shakespeare said. Jesus was mocked. Paul was mocked. Everyone in the New Testament that did anything was mocked and laughed at. When the enemy rages on earth, the Bible says, now listen, Psalms 2:4, God laughs in heaven. God is laughing when he's trying to pull his mess. You see, when you're connected to God, you can laugh too at the enemy and all his mess. Because he doesn't have power. God has given you power over the enemy. You see that? He's given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But now listen to me. You have to be under authority in order to have authority. If you're not under authority, you will have no authority. If you're not connected into a church and really connected and under authority, you have no authority for your children and your teenagers and your life when you need it. Am I making sense? Because that's the way God designed it. And you will have no authority over the enemy. He will kick your backside. Come on, am I making sense? That's the way God has raised it up. Now watch this. Sanballat and Tobiah laughed and ridiculed the workers before the work on the wall had begun. In verse 4, in chapter 4, verse 2, what are these feeble Jews doing? He's questioning. What are these feeble Jews doing? The word feeble means weak and miserable, withered. That's what feeble means. Weak and miserable. You see, now watch this. Here's the thing. The world system glories and puts such an emphasis on health, wealth, and power and what things look like. But God uses weak things. The Bible says in Colossians 1, verse 25, it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise and not many mighty and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of this world God has chosen to bring to nothing that no flesh should glory in his presence. Are you with me this morning? That is the idea. See, Ishmael represents the flesh. We're in the supernatural, right? Because we're supernatural beings. Now think about this. So when we're weak, he becomes strong. You got to show up for the fight. If he's not going to do it all for you, when you show up, now he's going to show up. Remember? Goliath showed up, and what's the first thing? David showed up to fight Goliath. What's the first thing Goliath said? Started ridiculing. Started talking, who is this uncircumcised? They started ridiculing. Am I making sense? And the Bible says David ran to the fight. He ran. Let me at him. Folks, that's the way we ought to be. Now get a hold of this. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, Tobiah and Sanballat, they didn't realize that God uses weak things. And God's strength is in weakness. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 2, now look at this. And he spoke before the brethren and the army and the Samaria and the said, watch this, and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they, continues on in this ridicule. Now listen. Sanballat and Tobiah were against the Jews, and they were really the opposition against God. They were coming against the people, but really their opposition was not against the people. It was against God. And you see, that's the way it is in our life. The opposition is really not against us, but it's against God in us. And I'm going to tell you what, God's going to win. God is going to win. Did you catch that? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Discouragement. Discouragement is the second device the enemy uses. Discouragement means to deprive of confidence, hope, and spirit. That's what it means, to deprive of confidence, hope, and spirit. Folks, we got to have confidence. Remember, confidence means with faith. You got to have faith. You got to be confident in who you are and what you believe. If you are going to rebuild, discouragement comes to keep you from rebuilding. Now, discouragement's taking away your courage. We need courage to do this, don't we? Joshua 1:7 says, only be strong. How much? Only be strong and what? Courageous. Only. No room for anything else. Only be strong and courageous. Discouragement comes to get you to shrink back and say you can't do it. You're not going to be able to rebuild. Look at you. Look what your past. Look at the ruin. Look at all that's broken down in your life. And you're going to try to rebuild? That's discouragement knocking on your door. Now watch this. It was discouragement that kept Israel from entering the promised land at Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 13. They said, we be not able. That's what they said. We're not able. Those are giants over there, and we're not able to do this. We're like grasshoppers. That's discouragement. This is what happens when we get our eyes off the Lord and start looking at ourselves and our problems. When we get our eyes off the Lord and we look at ourselves and our problems. See, the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes. The word fix means to look away from everything else and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. The author and the finisher of your faith. The author and the finisher of your faith. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Amen?
Please tune in again next Sunday for the remainder of today's message.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.